When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is Joe and it's a first draft time again for the 22-23 season. Today I'm joined by former world number one. Yes, he has actually won the whole thing. That's right, Simon March, and he won the game way back in 2014-15, I believe it was. Simon, hello, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Shay, how are you?
Yeah, good, good. Enjoying looking at other people's first drafts, and I will no doubt tinker with my own team afterwards. It's sort of set in stone, and then 10 minutes pass, and it changes all again. But before we move on to have a look at your team, I've got your career history up on here. I just wanted to show it here because it's something that only one person every year gets. And that's a little number one there. So 2014-15 won. But you've also finished in the top 10K one, two, three other times and lots of other top finishes as well. 22K, top 20K and so on. So looking back at 2014-15, what has motivated you to carry on doing it? Considering you've been doing quite well over the years, but I might be tempted just to say, well, there we go. I've won it.
Yeah, looking back, yeah, that might have been the best thing to do, to be honest. At one point every season, I regret not retiring after 2014-15. But I played it never with the belief that I would ever win it. You know, played it like everyone else plays it, you know, because I enjoy it. And so, I don't know what I would do with myself if I retired from it. But
right. No, I know. It's always interesting. I always find it quite an interesting proposition because it's so rare that you get to speak to someone who's actually won that. I just wanted to check that everyone in the live chat can hear us. We're streaming this show. Someone put in that we were muted, but then they retracted it quickly. But so I gather we weren't muted. Thanks a lot for that. Hudson, Shea Cornway, Joshua Tan, John Crispers, and many more. Very good early birds for joining us at early afternoon on a Wednesday to discuss Simon's team. Let's have a look at your team. I don't go with sort of hanging around here. We just go straight in. And just before we do that, I just want to remind everyone to make sure that they do like and subscribe. It's so important for us to get all your love here when you like the show, but also make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any as well. So let's have a look at your team. Just before I ask you to kind of go through it all, I'm going to go through it for the podcast version as well. So those listening, he has a 4-5-1 with Pope in goal, Cancelo, James, Alexander-Arnold and Zinchenko in the back four. And then this mighty midfield of Madison, Salah, Neto, Bowen and Mount. There is a lot of heavy hitters there. We will come to that. We got Jesus as well up front. And then on the bench, Sanchez, Abroja, Nico Williams, Greenwood and nothing in the bank so far. So, Simon, let's just go position by position. Nick Pope. Why have you got Nick Pope? And are you convinced he's going to start?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, I love Nick Pope. I mean that in every respect of the word. He's an all-time favourite of mine in fantasy football. But if I'm honest, I would say that when I put this draft together, I had 0.5 in the bank and wasn't sure what to do with it. And so I upgraded Raya to Pope. I'm a big fan of two 4.5 goalkeepers. For me, it's been unequivocally proven, as far as my experience, that 2 4.5 goalkeepers is the way to go. It's the key is finding the right ones. So I wouldn't be surprised if Pope ended up getting downgraded to a Rea or a Guaita. I think possibly even I haven't ruled out Pickford.
Really?
Given it's an international year, and since he likes to come alive in tournaments, he's a different player. Maybe there's maybe that's worth looking at. But yeah, I think the obvious ones are Sanchez and Rea at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think with 4.5s, I mean, both you and I have been playing the game for a long time, and we have good memories of that. If that rotation works, and people sometimes think of rotation as sort of good and bad fixtures, but often I think of it things like home and are that team particularly good at home? Are that team particularly good away? And sort of the strength of the fixtures as well. So it's not quite as linear as that. There might be other reasons there. I remember, and anyone who wants to follow your plan of doing this, a good strategy is to have a look in the somewhere like the Fantasy Football Scout members area. And there's a few stats around goalkeepers, around saves per minute, that type of thing. Go for the top ones, and often they're quite cheap. So I remember the Southampton goalkeeper and the Bournemouth goalkeeper a while back being a good rotation. Like that, just get the two ones that's going to get you lots of points just for turning up. So yeah, I think it's quite a good move. Another thing I was going to mention, Brighton and Leicester have a very good rotation, so if you were minded, Schmeichel and Sanchez is actually quite a good combination. Can I tease you into that?
Is what's Schmeichel? Is he 5 million?
He's 5 million, yeah, so he's same as Pope, yeah.
I would be. I started off with Schmeichel last season. I remember being quite effusive when we did this last year. I remember being quite effusive about Schmeichel, because he's one of the few goalkeepers that absolutely plays every minute of every game, except for that one time that he got benched towards the end of last season. But I would think about it. I always think that with goalkeepers, there is an argument for going a bit more expensive. I think Ramsdale is also a good there's a good argument for him at 5 million, and Mendy as well, but it's always the first player that that I will look to raise funds when I need it. And so for me, it's usually a case of just cut to the chase and just get 2 4.5s to begin with.
Yeah.
Save myself the trouble of downgrading it later on. I think 4.5s, even if you're not looking to rotate them, I think just the fact of having two playing goalkeepers is really, really valuable. I think the worst thing with goalkeepers is when you get stuck in a spiral of transferring them in and out, trying to cover injuries, especially if you're going with a premium option with a 4.0. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's worth it. I think I'd much rather have a goalkeeper who ends up scoring 15, 20 points lower than the highest scorer, but have that peace of mind that I've got decent cover in there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the moment, I've got Ramsdale in my draft and I've got no cover. I've got Southampton's number 2 or 3. I just like that electronic trifle shirt that the Southampton goalkeepers have got at the moment. Do have a look at that on site. But it's more, I'm a bit worried, and I do like those having 2 4.5s. I think Ramsdale, Pope, Saar, I think, is probably the pick of the 5.0s, and I may switch to him. Makes a lot of saves. Wolves are a defensive team. Get defensive players in defensive teams.
Best fixtures as well, opening fixtures.
Definitely. Let's move to your defence then, speaking of defence. So, I mean, I'm not going to really dwell on Alexander-Arnold. People know about him, and people know why he's in people's squads. Cancelo, similar as well. But you've got James and Zinchenko there, and Nico Williams on the bench. So let's look at James first. So Chilwell has a higher points per minute than James. But, of course, he was injured for a lot of last season, so he didn't get the points, so it's not easily as visible. But then James is James, and he always looks the best player on the pitch, even in a Chelsea side. Why James over Chilwell?
Yeah, I'm very tempted to have them both, I think, which I might end up going with. I think James, sometimes, even when the stats kind of point in a different direction, you can just sort of look at something and say, right, if you've got two players that stay fit, then, one of them just stands out a little bit brighter than the other one. And I think that's James. He, he's got the advantage, I think, also, is that at the moment there isn't a lot of competition for that position. Whereas for Chilwell, even though he's you know, undeniably first choice, there's Emerson and Alonso is still hanging about as well. I'm not sure if Chelsea are going to be able to get rid of him before the season starts. And the fact that he carried, you know, an injury for such a lot of last season, one, we don't know exactly what kind of player we're getting back. Mm-hmm. After that, and two, how much they're going to risk him, whether they're going to ease him in, and rotate him a bit. So yeah, I think James is definitely the safer of the two, but I also think that, you know, there's a real player in James, that, you know, he could emerge as being a real heavy hitter and for a defender.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Chilwell in my side, but it could easily be James. And I'm not undecided. I'm not locked in either of them. That's why I was asking your opinion, because you're a Chelsea fan as well. So it's always good to speak to fans of teams, especially with a sort of a 50-50 call like that. But one of them will be in my squad, and I'm sure at least one, maybe two, by the sounds of it, being yours. Zinchenko, he's got a Man City shirt on there, but he's pretty much going to have an Arsenal shirt on in about a few days' time, as we're recording here. So that deal looks like it's pretty much been agreed, going through. Why is Zinchenko as an Arsenal asset over 4.5 Ben White, Tomiyasu, or indeed Gabriel or Tierney or any of those other assets from Arsenal?
Yeah, I think it depends a little bit on where he's going to play. There have been rumours that he might play in midfield. It's true, actually. I mean, I saw some really interesting stats around Zinchenko yesterday that actually... His X assist was the highest per 90 minutes played possibly all left-sided defenders. Right. So even if he ends up playing at left back, I know that they've got Tierney there as well. Even if he ends up playing regularly at left fullback, he's got a lot of attacking threat. But it's the fact that they can play him in midfield, not necessarily defensive midfield either, like potentially the sort of left-hand side of a diamond. He does like to come inside. He does create chances centrally as well. He's one of these sort of modern fullbacks that likes to move centrally, you know, in attacking play, but can also provide, you know, threat on the flanks. And so I like him, but I think if he is just playing purely at fullback, I'll need to sort of see more of him, see how he fits in with Tierney, assuming that Tierney is fit. Because if he's just going to play a standard fullback role, then I don't think that there's a lot to justify the 0.5 more than say White or Tomiyasu. So that's something that I'm keeping an eye on, definitely. But yeah, the prospect that he could be out of position, I think, makes him a really good value.
Yeah, he could play central midfield, and that's a position he plays, I believe, with the Ukrainian national side. So he's well used to that, and that's why he's been brought in, I presume, and also cover from Tierney, who is just always seems to be injured, certainly whenever he's in my side. but yeah, I think they look, I think he looks like a very good prospect, and I don't rule out getting him into my side, definitely. John Chapman in the live chat asks, Joe, can you ask why no Spurs? We will come to that in a second, because we're going to talk about midfield. Now, because this midfield of Madison, Salah, Neto, Bowen, Mount is heavy. And we're seeing a lot of sort of big in the back, and still pretty big at the back, your team. But why so many heavy hitters here? You know, you haven't got that decision of which 8 million midfielder shall I get? You just got the lot. So, yeah, take us through that midfield.
Well, I think there's sort of two elements to it. One is the sort of profile of the midfielder that I like. I like players who've got lots of routes to scoring. So, you know, I like to pick, where possible, the creative force in the team. So, you know, someone who's got goal scoring, but also assist potential. Somebody who takes set pieces, you know, so they've got the opportunity to score, even if they're not playing well, or if the team's not playing well, they might chip in with a few points anyway. And I think that Madison, Mount and Bowen all fulfill that. Whereas, you know, Salah and Neto, a bit more attacking, but obviously Salah sort of justifies himself, but Neto, season before last, had you know, really pretty decent numbers, for the time that he played, and Wolves have got good fixtures. So, I know he's become a bit of a meme on FPL Twitter this season, because, you know, he's appearing in all these all these drafts, but I actually think that he probably is quite a decent option. Yeah, so quite heavy in there. I mean, the second element to it is that I think the World Cup looms pretty heavily over the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are certain players who are really fighting for their place in the squads. I think that applies to a lot of the defenders, like mm-hmm. Alexander-Arnold, James, yeah. Chilwell. But it definitely applies to midfielders yeah. like Maddison, Mount, Bowen. So I think, you know, these are players who have got absolutely top motivation to really mm-hmm. perform in the early half of the season. But equally, because they're not guaranteed of their spots, mm-hmm. I think that there are certain players who are pretty much guaranteed of their spots. And whether consciously or subconsciously, yeah, they're probably going into the first half of the season wanting to not get injured. And so, yeah, that might actually reduce their... I don't know. They might take it a little bit easier. Yeah. Whereas I think that these are players who are really going to go for it. Because it's kind of do or die for players like
Maddison. Yeah, definitely. Maddison could definitely get in. He also could miss out. Mount, I think, is probably over the 50% likelihood of getting in. He's very much a staple of that England side. But nevertheless, yeah, I mean, if he drops off in form, then he's out. And Bowen is definitely on the periphery as well. Could really get in. I mean, looking at this midfield here, one thing you could do is, if you didn't perhaps want so many of those, is you could upgrade, for example, Bowen to for Son, which would answer some of the questions we're getting in the live chat about why no Spurs. And then that's another three or four million. And you could shave that off elsewhere. To have a slightly lighter midfield, maybe another 4.5 in there. That's an option. But I don't know, is that something you consider? Are you still looking at ways to get Son in? Or
yeah, I think so. I mean, it's what I've been playing around with this morning. I mean, Son is probably my favourite player from an FPL perspective at the moment. I always try and have him in my team at some point. I think obviously with the price hike, it's a little bit more difficult this season. But yeah, he is the player that I want. I think... you kind of need to have Salah. I mean, part of my approach with the heavy hitter thing, which also applies to the forwards, is that I think if you don't, if you have a heavy hitter and you're not going to captain them, I think that does reduce to some extent the appeal of having them. But equally, you know, there are players like Coutinho and Grealish and... various sort of six, Rashford as well, 6.5.
Yeah. Sancho.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These are players who are a bit cheaper, who could free up those funds a bit as well. So, you know, particularly if I start looking at Chilwell in defence, you know, maybe I wouldn't want three Chelsea players. Mm. Could downgrade Mount and, look to upgrade Bowen as a result. Yeah. I mean, I think Bowen has been overlooked a little bit, partly because he's got Man City as his first fixture. It's not something I'm that scared of. I think that Man City can be a bit unpredictable at the beginning of seasons. But I mean, his numbers last season were just absolutely ridiculous. But by any rights, I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that it was just that one season, if he did that again, he'll be sort of 11 million next season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's someone that I'm really keen on, but at the same time, I think Son is one that I'm going to look to try and leave her in there if I can somehow.
I mean, I know what you mean about the fixtures with Bowen as well. Everyone sees the Man City at home and think, oh, I'm avoiding that. But then looking at their fixtures afterwards, they got Nottingham Forest, then Brighton, then Villa, Tottenham and Chelsea, so it gets a bit tough then Newcastle and Everton. So the fixtures are actually pretty good. I mean, there's two or three tough ones in there, but it's just two or three out of the first eight, which is when probably the latest or one of the latest times that people will wildcard, because we've of course got unlimited transfers from game week 16 onwards during the World Cup. So, this is really looking at those first fixtures.
I think West Ham could start off pretty well as well. I think towards the end of last season, I think this applies to Chelsea as well. There were a couple of teams, West Ham and Chelsea in particular, I think, who were just clearly exhausted. They just played way too much football and, couldn't sustain it. Whereas I think we saw at the beginning of last season when West Ham started out, they were a real force. I think the same with Chelsea as well. And so... That is possibly an area that I think, you know, where they've been underpriced. The latter part of last season is maybe not an accurate reflection of what we can expect from those teams going forward. And maybe that's something that we can exploit, you know, to find value around them. But yeah, I do think that the Mount and Bowen probably a little bit underpriced.
Okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, let's have, I've got a table here I can put up. This is of attacking midfielders, and it's just basically the top ones that are sorted by minutes per FPL points. And I've got some other metrics there, like goals, assists, and minutes per expected goal involvement. And I basically 8 million is the cutoff there. So it's all 8 million above, and I just selected the top ones. Salah is at the top, as you would imagine. He is getting a point every 10 minutes he's on the pitch. He gets an FPL point every 10 minutes, which is pretty amazing. Then you've got De Bruyne, slightly slower rate, but it's not too shabby. De Bruyne at 11.3 minutes per FPL point. Then Mahrez, just behind him at 8 million. And I must admit, Mahrez has been in my side. I am waiting to see some City friendlies. I want, with Sterling going, and Jesus obviously as well. I just think that Mahrez, I hope to be a bit nailed on, but we say that at the beginning of every season, and maybe we're getting clouded by that. Maybe this is the season he is indeed nailed on. And if he is, anyway, he offers the best value out of this whole bunch of players. Then you've got Son just behind him, which underlines Son's credentials, almost as good as Mahrez, but obviously far more nailed on. Kulusevski, could be some competition there with Richarlison. Richarlison has been playing on the right during pre-season. Then Raheem Sterling. So Raheem Sterling, I'm going to come to him now. He's next on this list here. He's 10 million, now a Chelsea player. So he's playing for your team. And he's got a bit of history in FPL with City and, of course, with Liverpool when he was a 4.5 midfielder. Are you tempted by Sterling? A bit of an upgrade there?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sterling is somebody that I'd really like to have in my team. He's somebody that I've really liked as an FPL asset as well in recent seasons. And the fact that, you know, you can expect him to start regularly for Chelsea, whereas you couldn't at Man City, just increases his appeal even more. The problem with Sterling is that it's hard to sort of justify the extra 2 million over Mount, or even, you know, moving into forward areas, possibly Havertz as well. So I think I'm going to have to see a little bit about, I think he's going to start the friendly actually that Chelsea have coming up today. So we'll see, you know, the first signs of what he might look like as a Chelsea player. But yeah, I'm going to have to see sort of how he fits into the team. And I think, you know, even though over the season, I reckon he'll be a success, always a little bit wary of backing new players early on in the season. I think with Spurs, the problem is somewhat, if you are looking away from, if you're not looking at Son or Kane, then there's so much competition now. Kulusevski, Richarlison, there's rumours that they might even bring in Maddison as well.
And Moura is being converted into the new Victor Moses.
Moura as well.
So suddenly Perisic, Spence, who apparently Conte didn't actually order, came in for him. The club has ordered him. and Doherty. And so there's a lot of competition down those flanks, basically.
Yeah. And that's why I'm worried, because I've been so burnt by getting into the whole sort of City mid spiral before, where, you know, you bring in a player, they get benched, you bring in another player, they get benched, and it just continues. Honestly, my FPL results improved so much more when I just started ignoring City attackers. I think Haaland might be the curveball, because you would expect that he would be the closest thing since Aguero to a nailed on attacker who isn't, you know, KDB. But, you know, the likes of, you know, Mahrez and Foden and Grealish, Silva, you know, there's just so much rotation in there that I just, you know, I don't want to play that. There are enough other options that can deliver fairly consistently to ignore those for me.
And just to complete the rest of this table that people can see on the YouTube version, but for those listening on the podcast, just below Sterling, you've got Madison with an FPL point every 13.4 minutes, then Mount's next, then Bowen, then Diaz, Foden, and then Saka. I mean, all their figures are good here. These are all strong options, and that's why they've been priced accordingly. But if you're looking for an 8 million option, Mahrez, if nailed, big if, is the better option than Madison, Mount, Diaz, Foden, and Saka. Bowen is priced well if he can replicate that form, put it that way. But it just underlines the potential of Son there. And Kulusevski, if he can play. So if Richarlison isn't competition as much as we think he will be, he could be a really strong option there. So something for everyone to think about. I've got another slide here. Let's have a look here. Just as of the fixtures, this sort of stress tests things. And I just want to remind people as well, do subscribe, do like us, and do press subscribe so you can keep up to date with all our videos and podcasts. But looking at the fixture difficulty, game weeks 1-8. So Arsenal are top, then you got Brighton. So that could be a potential for you if you're looking for some cheap players for Brighton. They have Manchester United to start, but then Newcastle, West Ham, Leeds, Fulham, Leicester, Bournemouth and Crystal Palace. So there could be some returns there. Then you've got Man City, which is why, you're looking at the likes of Cancelo and why you perhaps might fear Haaland. And then you've got Brentford, Leeds, it could fill the cheap seats there. Liverpool, which is why you've got Liverpool coverage. Chelsea, which is why we're talking a lot about Chelsea. Then there's Notts Forest, Tottenham, which is why everyone in the live chat is talking about Tottenham. And then we've got Aston Villa as well. So just coming to some of those teams that you haven't got any coverage for, but that could be quite useful if you wanted to save a bit of money. So Villa, a lot of bargains there. Nottingham Forest. I do apologise to Nottingham Forest fans here. It says Notts Forest there. That, of course, should be Notts County. But they're nowhere near the Premier League at the moment, as Nottingham Forest fans know. Nottingham Forest there, Leeds, Brentford and Brighton. Are you tempted by any of those cheap assets? If you were to try and go for a Sterling or a Son, who might these enablers be?
Yeah, potentially. I think Aston Villa are quite interesting. I think Bailey has started all their pre-season fixtures so far and looked reasonably good. He's pretty interesting one. It's very difficult early on. I think Saka is another one. Martinelli at 6 million is a really popular one. I think Saka is an example of a player who fits those categories I was talking about earlier on. His play is very involved, or all around the pitch, it's really got something to play for as well. Not just as an Arsenal player, but also to secure his place in the England squad. Excuse me. There's a few around that I'm looking at, and probably not so much. I think maybe there's a couple at Brentford. Vissa, I think, is maybe quite interesting. Not really sure about Leeds at the moment. I have to sort of see how they shape up.
Meslier could be a good option.
I haven't looked into it too much at the moment. I think that there are quite a lot around the sort of 5.5 million, whether it's in attack or in midfield. These sort of enablers that you can look at who might be a little bit more reliable, playing in better teams, to not necessitate at the moment looking that much further down the table. But we'll have to see. I think as usual, somebody will emerge in the first two or three game weeks of the season, and it'll be that real budget enabler. But sort of preempting that is very difficult.
I remember it was Suchek. 5 million for West Ham, who I ended up fielding because my balance of my team was so awful, and so I was one of the few people who actually benefited from his points. So as you were saying, it can pay to have a weaker team in a strange way if you can nail that 5 million midfielder who's doing well. I know the Watford midfielders were sensational for about two or three seasons ago. So those there's. I'm just going to put your team back on just before we go. I'm just going to have a look at your team again. So I guess Haaland, even if you don't go with him in game week one, he is a player that you might want. Because if he's just getting a hat trick every, if he's truly is the new Aguero, literally everything Man City are doing is to funnel the ball to him to score. He's going to be needed. So what's your Haaland in plan game weeks 2-3 sort of time?
Yeah, it's a good question. Because at the moment, but the way I've approached it is to spread the money around a lot and to try and get, you know, sort of 10 outfield players who can all chip in and contribute. And that makes it very difficult if I then sort of switch strategies and decide to go for a premium. So I don't know, I've seen a few threemium posts today of people with Salah, Son and Haaland that don't actually look terrible. And so I think that it's quite realistic that I could perhaps convert one of my 8 million midfielders into something cheaper to either into Son or something that will allow me to upgrade to Haaland.
Yes, I think is it De Silva at Brentford who could be the sort of the new Ericsson or sort of a lower version of Ericsson?
Yeah. I think Andreas at Fulham as well. Is quite interesting. He seems to be playing in a more attacking role. I think he's even taken some set pieces as well. These aren't players that you would necessarily want to rely on. But, you know, are decent enablers. So that's something that I'm looking at. I think it's inevitable, really, that Haaland's going to score goals for Man City. Yeah. I think that there are question marks about his fitness at the moment. We've got to see how he shapes up in pre-season. I do think that there is a little bit of a grace period where you can say, okay, well, we've got time to see how he settles in before necessarily having to bring him in. But I think that the way that I've sort of looked at it is that if you had, if he scored a hat-trick and he factored in, Haaland, this is, if he scored a hat-trick and he got maximum bonus points and you weren't captaining him, then that would equate to, 17 points. Whereas if, say, Bowen or Mount or Madison, if they scored a single goal and kept a clean sheet and got maximum bonus points, that would be 11 points. And that feels much more sustainable to me, the idea that, you know, one or two of those might contribute with a goal each week than the expectation that Haaland would score a hat-trick or a brace. And that's kind of my logic at the moment. But obviously, if he comes in and he starts scoring consistently, then he becomes very difficult to ignore. So that's kind of why I've set up the way I have at the moment. But I think it probably is worth me looking to try and get another premium in just to make that transition easier if it comes down to it. I do have Jesus up front and possibly Brozier as well. When I put Brozier in the team, it looked like he was about to sign for West Ham. It looks like that was a little bit premature. So I think that would be very much contingent on him signing, playing regular football. But a 5.5, I think he'd be an absolute steal.
I don't think you'd go wrong starting with him, because that that price point, Undav at Brighton, Dennis, is excellent. It's been looking good in pre-season, and I'm biased, obviously. So you could move to him. Not the end of the world.
Well, as it stands at the moment, I'd have to each week play two of Zinchenko, Neto and Brozier, which I think is pretty well-rounded.
It's decent
enough. It's not necessarily maximising all the money in the first 11, but that's not necessarily a bad thing at the beginning of the season, because there are a lot of unknowns.
Definitely.
But I don't want to go in with Brozier if he's still a Chelsea player, because he's just not going to get the minutes. I think Jesus, though, I think is an absolute gift. 8 million at Arsenal. I mean, you never know, but there's just something about him at Arsenal that just seems to fit and makes total sense. And so I'm really excited to see, what he can deliver. And if he does really well, then it lessens the need perhaps to spend more money up front.
I'm hoping he's a sort of a 10 million striker this season, but so he saves yourself $2 million. Simon, thanks so much for joining me. I hope it's proved interesting with a lot of food for thought for people with their teams. A few comments in the live chat about the midfield. Obviously, there's very midfield heavy, and there's a lot of expensive midfielders there. But I don't think, I mean, I'm keen on price points and balance and things, but I don't think that matters so much at the beginning of this season. And I think if you want to go for a threemium or really heavy midfield or big at the back and all these types of things, I don't think it really matters, because we're in a wild card early on anyway. Everyone is. And by, you know, within 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to get loads more data about, we're going to know how Haaland's fitting in. We're going to know how Liverpool are being set up at the moment with no Mane. We've got all of those sort of ifs and buts and maybes will hopefully be ironed out. But Simon, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck with game week one. Good luck with Chelsea. I hope they finish just above Brighton, only just though. Good luck with the rest of the season. And we'll see another number one on your career history.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks a lot, Jay.